Welcome to The Naked Satanist. The show consists of views from a left-leaning libertarian and a U.S. military veteran. Reverend Jeff Ivins may be a member of the Church of Satan, but his views are not representative of the Church of Satan or any other entity. And welcome to the second episode of The Naked Satanist. This episode, I want to go over nonconformity as it relates to Satanism. As written by Dr. LaVey in The Devil's Notebook, nonconformity is a Satan's greatest weapon. But there's a caveat in my book. But with all weapons, there are a few catches. Nonconformity is a frame of mind and a means to an end in some cases. I've tried to be a nonconformist most of my life after studying American literature in the 11th grade in high school, the year after my introduction to Satanism. It was a pivotal moment when the works of Thoreau, Emerson, Whitman, and Dickerson opened my eyes to a new view of the world. I'll discuss more about them later in the episode. Let's see what Dr. LaVey said about a true nonconformist, and I quote, "An individual must always live in his own world, not one created by others' standards," unquote. So we must create our world as we see fit and be the other. Conformity can be enjoyable and comforting, but it's a trap. If you are comfortable with your world, you can be somewhat programmed by society. A true Satanist is not bound by being comfortable in the world, whether or not it appears to be. Being another means seeing things from a third side point of view. Yes, you can be somewhat of a left or right wing leaning person, but still take a view from outside of your programming by the programming of either side. We see the strings of society and who pulls them. If you allow others to control you and your actions, you are not a good magician by imposing your will to get your desired effects. When someone asks you to do something against your self-interest, a sharp no is a powerful word. A lot of people are starved for attention, so they conform to what society, also known as we call the herd, as to how to get attention. We as animals must be social, but why should it be what society dictates? It should be on our grounds, not the grounds in which go against our carnal nature. Some important issues must be mentioned about being nonconformist. Usually you'll become a loner in life, in some aspects of life. Personally, I try to live outside the worldview of what a bisexual male and or a left-leaning libertarian is supposed to be. That generally means I am content with being alone most of my life. I do not deal with other people too much due to the requirement of their social programming. It is one way to fight against becoming programmed myself. Another thing about being a nonconformist, turn off the damn TV and its programming of what is and what is not considered trendy or acceptable. Most people are influenced by the TV and making people programmed by who actually are running the stations. We all know the TV has become the new god in the modern world. From the news you watch to the advertisers on the brain-dead shows the network puts on, we as Satanists use our wit and charm to cause change. And we'll get into that in a little bit later on. Basically, it's learning how to manipulate somebody to get what you want. There's a little story of when I was in 11th grade that did it. But basically, I twisted somebody into actually supporting the candidate that I was supporting. So, a little lesser magic goes a long way at times. I knew how much to conform without being 100% a sheep. Now, there's another thing here in the Devil's Notebook on page 63 of the Devil's Notebook. It's titled Nonconformity, Satanism's Greatest Weapon. And it says, in the definition of magic is, quote, the change in situation or events in accordance with one's will, which would, using normally accepted methods, be unchangeable, unquote. It would seem that any successful magical working is an art of nonconformity. The greater one's natural degree of nonconformity, the greater one's magical powers. One's will, particularly as it pertains to magical success, is an important commodity, but strong-willed should not be confused with willfulness. Just about everyone nowadays is extremely willful zombie, blustering along the wills not of their own. Grim determination abounds, and it becomes a second hand. Its motivation does not emanate from the creative region of the brain, only the response center. So you take what Dr. LaVey wrote, and I think I summed it up nicely earlier when I said that, you know, you have to know how to separate yourself and do one's will. Like I said, me trying to get somebody to vote for my candidate and stuff like that, lesser magic always works. Now we're going to take a short break, and then I'm going to get into something called transcendentalism, which deals with a lot of if you extract the some of the religious aspects of it out of it, like my favorite author did, it becomes a very good tool. So we'll be right back here on the Naked Satanist.
In 1966, Anton LaVey created the Church of Satan, marking the beginning of the Age of Fire and Year One Anno Satanas. In 1969, he published The Satanic Bible, codifying Satanism as a religion, the first time it's been done in human history.
In the name of Satan, ruler of the earth, king of hell, come forth from the pit, bestow the blessings of hell upon us, for we are your children, and we invoke thee this night.
In 2001, I was appointed High Priest of the Church of Satan. In 2007, I published the Satanic Scriptures, further defining and expanding on satanic philosophy and greater magic ritual.
Hail Satan, full of might!
Hail Satan, full of might!
Our allegiance is with thee!
Our allegiance is with thee!
Cursed are they!
Cursed are they!
The God adorers!
The God adorers!
And cursed are the worshippers!
And cursed are the worshippers!
Of the Nazarene eunuch!
For the past 50 years, the Church of Satan has stood as the sole organization to define and defend Satanism as a religion. And though pretenders to the infernal throne have come and gone, we have stood the test of time and will into the future. Visit churchofsatan.com for more information and read the Satanic Bible and the Satanic Scriptures. Knowledge is the solution for ignorance. Hail Satan!
Hail Satan!
The Neutral Wisdom Podcast is a podcast dedicated to passing on knowledge and experience from a satanic perspective, hosted by Satanist and satanic warlock Robert Shirley. Join us as we challenge conventional wisdom and offer refreshing insights for those seeking deeper understanding and self-empowerment through a modern philosophy. Embrace your own authenticity and transformative potential. Join us wherever you get your podcasts and at neutralwisdom.ca for more information.
Satansplain, Satanic Talk with Church of Satan Magister Bill M.
Well, it's not Satan worship, it's Satanism. It's embracing the life-enriching things which have traditionally been given the devil's name. Pride, lust, earthly success, rational self-interest, atheism, humor, nonconformity, science, a passion for living, being selective about whom we love. We don't see these as shameful sins, but empowering ideals. And we also recognize the psychological power and fun of symbolism and aesthetics, so we utilize Satan as mythology's most fitting mascot for what we're about.
Listen to Satansplain. Learn more at satansplain.com.
And welcome back. If you have any questions or comments or criticisms, you can get a hold of me. Send me an email at jeff@nakedsatanist.com. You can go to nakedsatanist.com and see all, you know, see that hear this episode again or listen to the first episode. And you can get this on 16 different platforms, Spotify, and places like that, Apple Music or Apple Podcasts and stuff like that. So, now the reason I wanted to go over nonconformity is because I turned around, and like I said, when I was in the 11th grade, I studied American literature, as most of us did. And we turned around and we got into the authors of like Thoreau, Emerson, Whitman, and Dickerson. All of them were nonconformists of their time, especially Thoreau. He basically wrote a masterpiece for a nonconformist, and I'll make that piece downloadable if you go to the nakedsatanist.com website. I'll put a way of making it where you get it. But let's get back into my little write-up here. There are movement leaders who have thought outside the box as nonconformists would. Some of them use nonconformity to better their world. Two of these names stand out, Mahatma Gandhi and Martin Luther King. We know they led protests against oppressive governments of their time. Gandhi led the revolt against the United Kingdom, and Martin Luther King led the civil rights movement here in the United States for equal rights. Why would I mention these two historical people? Because they used nonconformity to make their statement. They did not use religion as a means to an end, but plain nonconformity. Now, Martin Luther King, yes, he did preach from the pulpit, but his actions were of nonconformity. When he was told he can't do something, he got a group of people and they did it anyway. If you study where they found the courage and discipline, one of the authors I mentioned before had a major influence on them. Henry David Thoreau is how. There was a movement that he followed that led him to writing an essay about it. This essay is what I deeply studied while I was in the 11th grade. The title of the essay, The Essay of Civil Disobedience, written in 1849, originally published as Resistance to Civil Government. It was written around the time of the Mexican-American War, and if you not had read this literary work, I highly suggest you do. Gandhi and King both studied it and made it a profound influence in their actions. Now, Thoreau had been jailed several times for refusing to pay a poll tax and taxes to support the Mexican-American War. And Emerson actually put him up for a little bit, him and his wife. Thoreau actually was a... He got asked by a woman to marry him, and he turned her down, and he asked another woman to marry her, and she turned him down. So he basically was a bachelor his whole life. Something that appears that I'm going to be here for the rest of my life. One of the nonconformist statements that stands out to me is, and I quote, "I'm too high born to be propertied, to be a secondary at control, or useful serving man and instrument to any sovereign state throughout the world," unquote. And like I said, Thoreau was jailed different parts of his life. This is what brings me to transcendentalism as a philosophy. Most of what Thoreau did was non-spiritual transcendentalism. It was closely related to Unitarianism, but without the spirituality. It was developed in the late 1820s and 1830s in New England region of the United States. The core belief is society and its institutions have corrupted the individual, and people are best when they are truly self-reliant and independent. Transcendentalists saw physical and spiritual phenomena as part of a dynamic process rather than a discrete entity. Transcendentalists have a deep gratitude and appreciation for nature, not only for the aesthetic purposes, but also as a tool to observe and understand the structured inner workings of the natural world. Emerson alludes to this concept in the introduction of an American Scholar address. Quote, "That there is one man, present to all particular men only partially, or through one faculty, and that you must take as the whole society to find the whole man," unquote. There have been distinctions made between individuality and individualism within the transcendentalistic movement. Both advocate the unique capacity of the individual, yet individualism is decidedly anti-government, whereas individuality sees all facets of society's necessary, or at least acceptable for the development of the true individualistic person. Whether the transcendentalists believe in individualism or individuality remains to be determined. So basically what that is saying, well, if you put it bluntly, you can be partly and have individuality and be part individualism. So, you know, yeah, I can see why certain parts of society are there to protect you. But if they make no sense, I'm not under obligation to follow that system. Thoreau was quoted as, and I'm probably going to paraphrase this, but it's a government. Transcendentalism is a method of where the government governs the least. His form of transcendentalism, or the one he followed, was transcendentalism would be a government that doesn't govern at all. So, now I did a book report on it, and it made a strong statement within me reading the essay on civil disobedience. So I'll make that available for download on the Naked Satanist website. Now, this is a college PDF that I've got, that basically I read through and compared it to the books I've got, and it's identical word for word. A lot of people don't do that. Now, that brings me to a little bit of a group that we all just love to hate. Kevin Soling's group. Now, they claim to be Satanists with a capital S, but they're not. And this is, to me, where transcendentalism and nonconformity and everything else boils into why they are not. Our church and our hierarchy does not dictate what we are to believe. They leave that to the individual. So, because we are an individualistic church, or philosophy, if you want to call it that. We have an individualistic philosophy. The church makes no stance on any position. Now, I know Dr. LaVey made a comment about maybe abortion should be illegal, and let's, what was the term he used? Basically, a woman who gets pregnant more than twice without wanting the child should be fixed, let's say, to where she can't have any more children. I say, do the men. Let the men get fixed. Because a woman gets fixed, she can't reverse it. A man has a better chance of having a vasectomy reversed than a woman having her tubes tied. That way, because it's not just the woman, it's the guys also. It takes two to tango. So that's just my third side view of that. Back to the wannabes. Their hierarchy says, this is what we're going to do. And it's all left-wing extremist garbage that they come out with. If it's, they're the ones that are trying to be the anti-church when it comes to Christianity. We are just ourselves. We reject the church, the Christian church, and all the other white light religious views. We reject them, but doesn't mean that we can't agree with some of their stuff. Kevin Soling's group, like I said, when it comes to being themselves, being individuals, making their own mind up, don't get that chance. And that's very anti-Semitic in a lot of our books. I would believe most people that listen to this podcast would agree with me on that statement. They're not satanic at all. And basically everybody turns around and everybody in that group basically turns around and does what the hierarchy says, or they get sued. So, and this is coming back to something that Dr. LaVey said on page 64 of this Devil's Notebook, where the first paragraph ends, the last sentence of that paragraph, of the second paragraph, and this is what most of the Kevin Sullins group misses. The predictable antics of a heavy-handed Satanist are quite profoundly exploited by non-Satanists. They don't see that. They don't understand that. Basically, Kevin Sullins group is just like the Westboro Baptist Church, but using offensive stuff to piss people off. So they're not Satanists. All right, I'm going to wrap up this show, and hopefully you got something out of it. And like I said, if you want to shoot me a line, jeff@nakedsatanist.com, and I will reply in kind. If you get criticisms, comments, or questions, I know probably some of you have it, like, why are you doing this? We got all these other podcasts. Because I want to take it from a different point of view. Like I said, I'm a bisexual male, and I'm left-leaning libertarian. I am not a free market person. I am not an authoritarian. And if you see one of my favorite movies, V for Vendetta. So, go figure. All right, we're going to go ahead and wrap up this episode. I will see you next time right here on The Naked Satanist. And I'm your host, Reverend Jeff Ivins. This episode of The Naked Satanist is copyrighted by The Naked Satanist, Reverend Jeff Ivins, and is not authorized for any other use.